Let me explain something to you folks. We very rarely get victories here on the Quote the Raven podcast because we have a bit of an outlandish view on the Fed and an outlandish view on the economy and on the stock market as a whole. Namely, that view is I believe everything is bullshit. Remember my cousin Vinny when he's like, yo, everything that guy just said right there is bullshit. That's basically how I feel about everything involving the world of finance. So when the Dow goes down 850 points like it did today, I don't feel bad. Look at me. I feel great. I'm in a great mood. I have some beef with some things that we're going to talk about in a second, but for the most part, I feel good. You know why, folks? Because being a short seller, when the Dow goes from 14,000 to 28,000 over the course of, you know, a decade, is a very painful exercise. It's not fun. And as the market continues to go up and up and up and up and up, all you keep asking yourself is, who's supporting the market? Where's the money coming from? Who thinks these valuations are not completely insane? And you deal with that. You ask yourself those questions every single day. And every day you walk around like some kind of crazy fucking homeless drunk at a bar somewhere telling people, hey, the stock market can't go up forever. I swear to God, it's not going to happen, you see? There's a whole thing going on. The deep state's involved, and they're buying stocks. And people that are certified financial planners are looking at you like, well, I just don't think you understand how the Fed works. I'm like, motherfucker, you don't understand how the Fed works. That's the problem. You and everybody else in the whole fucking industry does not understand what's going on here. That's the problem. So when the Dow goes down 800 points like it did today, and I have to watch those people at the end of the day squirming on CNBC, the people that were clapping, let's go close the day at the Dow, and they go over and show the people standing at the podium, and the guy hits the gavel, you know, and he's got this smile on like, oh, fuck, I'm smiling, but I'm watching my retirement fund go down 3% today. When I have to watch that, I kind of enjoy it. I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoy watching anchors visibly start sweating when the stock market goes down. Okay, let's do our little intro here. If you haven't figured it out from the first 2 minutes and 30 seconds of me screaming verbal diarrhea into the microphone, I'm not a financial advisor, so take that off your list. This is not investment advice. You should not listen to anything that I say, and fools, can't stress this one enough, folks. Do your research elsewhere, all right? Thank you very much. There is generally a 2-drink minimum if you want to make that 3, 4, or 5 today because you either made a lot of money or lost a lot of money. I'll allow it just for today. Go ahead, jack that drink up to 3, 4, 5. I know you're drinking doubles anyways, so it's probably 6, 8, or 10. I'm going to allow it. Maybe you're like Quoth and you think the market is a giant charade and you made a lot of money on puts today. Not saying that I did, but maybe you did, right? Or maybe you're a certified financial planner who spends his days handing out the 401k risk assessment test to people that don't even know how to count the change that's in their wallet. I love that. Yes, sir. Do you consider yourself a moderate investor? And then you got to watch some fucking plumber scratch his head while he's looking at this like, well, some bonds, some REITs, and some stocks. Oh, okay, I'm moderate. Well, how about aggressive? Emerging markets. Okay, yeah. Some more bonds. Yeah, and stocks. How about the conservative? More bonds, less stocks. Huh. All right. Well, I'm a moderate guy. I'll just check moderate. It's like, motherfucker, you're getting the same thing in all three of those boxes. You might as well check aggressive and go for it while you can. Or just go down with the ship, because your 401k questionnaire that Fidelity hands you isn't going to have a box to check, hey, I want to buy a bunch of SPY weekly puts. Because folks, that exists in the degeneracy bubble that we all live in together, not in the regular real world where people with real jobs cautiously look at these 401k questionnaires. How allocated do I want to be in corporate bonds versus municipal bonds? Hey, you know what? Fucker, it's all bonds. It doesn't matter, okay? If the whole industry goes tits up, it's not going to matter whether you own bonds in fucking Nathan's hot dog stand or you own bonds in the U.S. government. And if one survives, it's likely the other one's going to. By the way, pour one out for Sears. Rest in peace. I would also like to say that Ross Gerber went on CNBC just 4 days ago and said, hey, if Sears and JCPenney's haven't gone bankrupt yet, then Tesla's the last thing I'm worried about. 4 days later, Sears is reported to be filing for bankruptcy. You couldn't have timed that one any better. You absolutely could not have. Let me also just state, now that we're finished with the podcast, basically, that today's episode is brought to you by my Patreons. And Patreon is a service that allows you to make a recurring donation to the QTR podcast. I just want to take a second and let you guys know how much I genuinely appreciate your Patreons. I really do. I've had a couple more of them come in over the last couple of days. People like Bertha Moreno, people like Trader No Trader, people like Michael B., Joe Savage, Ben, Ryan, Jan Lee, what's up? Tony Magaro, Drew, Bill, Colin, Cletus Snow, I like that name, Blake, Hayden Free, the fine folks at endthefed.org. I really appreciate the contributions you guys have been making. I don't ever want them to go unnoticed, and I don't want anybody who's been a patron for however long to think that I don't notice it and I don't appreciate it, because I genuinely do. That's why I try to reach out to every single person that contacts me to let them know how much I genuinely appreciate it. And who knows where we'll go with this Patreon thing, but I do just want to reiterate that I'm really, really grateful and I appreciate you guys. I also just want to give a special shout out to a couple of extra people. I usually just pick a couple from the list, but let's see who's been down. We're going to pick people that donated close to the 10th of the month. Michael M. Blee was on the 15th. Of 1 month. And how about Marshall New? What's up, homie? And Jorge Perlas, ¿cómo estás? ¿Qué pedo, eh? And Jason Bernstein, what's going on? My man Russell V, I'll see you in Vegas in a couple of days. Chris Bede, Nick Zizis, what's up? Attorney Doll Relationship. No clue what that means or who that is, but stoked to have you on board. And I'll hit the rest of you guys up later or on Twitter, because we got to get down to it, folks. We have to get down to it today. It's a fucking emergency. It's an emergency. Market's in turmoil. The Dow went down one day. Turned on CNBC at 4:30 today, or 3:30 today, rather. Art Cashin looked like he was ready to shit his pants. All right, and he was on there. And what he was saying was, by the way, all that CNBC talked about today. So let's just zoom out here for a second, all right? If you can, you want to do an interactive activity here for the podcast. Well, you're at home, why don't you take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the last 10 years, all right? And what you will see is at the very, very, very top of a line that has done nothing but go directly up from the left side of the page to the right side of the page, there will be an extremely small indent lower, and that is today. Probably so small that you might not even notice it. That's where we are today. But if you turned on the financial media today, if you turned it on and you watched any of the contributors or you watched any of the hosts, I'm not going to name names except for Art Cashin. We'll talk about his comments in a second. But it was just a little blip. Okay, it was 3%. It was 3% after the market overall has doubled over the last decade, probably more than doubled. Just don't worry about my facts. I'm making them up as I go along. Do your research elsewhere. That's why I have that disclaimer. I can just say whatever I want. But the way that the financial media reacted today, you would have thought Jerome Powell walked into the dead center of the New York Stock Exchange behind Post 9, big official Post 9, where everything goes down. Look, I've been there, folks. It's a bunch of guys fucking standing around picking their ass, all right? Post 9, like there's some kind of action. There's no open outcry or anything anymore. Guys are sitting around talking about what deli they're going to get their fucking pastrami sandwich from lunch from. You would have thought by the financial media's reaction today that Jerome Powell walked into the dead center of the New York Stock Exchange, dropped his pants, took a shit on the floor, and then walked around personally shaking everybody's hands and telling them interest rates are going to 15%. Because that is the type of bewilderment, okay, that the financial news media was in. Nobody had any clue what was going on. Folks, this is why you wait for me to do my podcast. I'm going to inform you as to what I think is going on. It's called Sometimes the Stock Market Fucking Goes Down. I'll pause for laughter, crying, if you need to use the bathroom, whatever, no problem. I'll give you 10 seconds. Go ahead, just take 10 seconds for yourself. And if you don't need to do those things, just take a swig of your beer. All right, this concludes my 10-second safe zone in the podcast. That's what that was, is a safe zone. It looked like all the anchors on television today needed safe zones. Like David Faber that one day. I know I keep talking about it. The Dow dropped like 800 points. It's like, well, I gotta go make some calls. If you're gonna make some calls, Faber, call me. I'll tell you what's going on. It goes like this. The stock market has gone up every single day for the last 10 fucking years. What do you people want? What do you people want? Really? And now that rates are rising very slowly and way too late, by the way, everybody is panicking. Ugh. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Interest rates are going up. The stock market's doubled, okay? Enjoy your winnings over the last decade. The cost of debt is going up a little bit. Maybe you peckerheads should have thought of that before you issued all this debt over the last 10 years. I don't know. Just call me crazy, right? But no, it looked like everybody just started to kind of get around to thinking about it for the first time now. You got all these idiots on TV. Well, if we raise rates, it could slow down the economy. It could bring things to a halt. It could grind the gears. Yeah. And if the Fed wasn't fucking with everything to begin with, rates would be where they're supposed to be. Maybe we wouldn't have had such insane exuberance over the last 10 years. And things like today wouldn't cause people to shit themselves. It would just be a 3% sell-off in the market. Because, folks, I don't know how many times I can say this. It's not a market when it only goes up. It's not a market, okay? A market has buyers, and a market has sellers, and a market has bids, and a market has offers. And a market goes up, and a market goes down. Except for the Fed's market. The Fed's market goes only up. And everybody seems to be satisfied with this when it's going up. By the way, when the market is going up, and you're one of the people trying to point out that, maybe the system's a little rigged, there's no shortage of people to tell you what an imbecile you are and how wrong you are. Now, be that as it may, on a day like today, what we realize is, and I was thinking about this today, think about this, folks. People that were coming out of college over the last couple of years have never, for as long as they've been around and been able to comprehend, at least at a very bird's eye view of what the market is, they have never experienced a recession. For all these people know, the last 10 years, these new wet behind the ears junior analysts that are getting their superiors lattes and probably participating in some type of eyes wide shut pornographic hazing rituals that they may do at the large banks. I don't know, just not sure if they do that, but in my head, I feel like there is at least a chance. Those people are wondering what the fuck's going on. How could this happen? Well, let me tell you. Why don't you sit on next to the fire, sonny, and I'll tell you a tale about the time when markets went both down and up. Oh, it was weird times for sure. We used to be able to take our dollars and hand them in for gold. Yeah, I don't think it's occurred to anybody that the plan over the last couple of decades may not be the best idea. And what I've been saying, and people of my ilk have been saying, well, they're not of my ilk, I'm of the ilk of other people. Certainly I'm not the first person to say this. But what our group of thinkers has been saying is that quantitative easing only serves to make things worse when they do go bad. And we have a little bit of a problem now where we're addicted. That's right, folks. We're addicted to the markets doing nothing but going up. Nothing. So on a day like today, which should just be a normal corrective day, that should, by the way, happen probably more often than it does, on a day like today, it sends people into a full-blown panic. A full-blown panic. And when people panic, they look for the easiest solution. And what's the easiest solution? Well, the easiest solution is to look back at the Federal Reserve and say, fix this! Help me! Do something! I need help! I have no fucking clue what's going on. I know I'm on CNBC, but my mom made my lunch this morning. It was a bologna sandwich, and I'm really not capable of thinking on my own. So can you guys help, please? I saw this thing at the end of the day today. President Trump has been briefed on the stock market sell-off. I wonder what that brief looked like. Probably something like this. Mr. President, the stock market was down 800 points today. And I could just see the president.
Not good. Not good, folks. Okay? Get me somebody on the phone. I came out and I said this morning, I'm a low-rate guy. All right? It's just the kind of guy I am. You know? I'm a Sagittarius. I like steaks. I'm a low-rate guy. All right? I like low rates. I don't know what to tell you. This is not good. Can't happen on my watch, folks. We need to do something about it. Jerome Powell, you're fired. That much I can tell you right now.
But there's no quick fix. And even more frightening than the fact that the president and all these boobs on the financial news networks and all these investors they interview, even more frightening than them not understanding what's going on is their propensity to want to turn around and go to the Fed after a day like this. I mean, did we not expect aftershocks, folks? I mean, what do you guys expect? Do you expect to raise rates 200 basis points on hundreds of billions of dollars in debt and for there to be no effect? Is that really what people think? You know, even if you buy into the Keynesian bullshit, the purpose of the Fed is to what? Well, it's to ease recessions, okay, and provide a soft landing. And it's to also make sure that markets are allowed to expand and the economy is allowed to expand within reason and not get too ahead of itself. Well, they didn't do that. When we had our recession, they didn't ease the recession back around. They didn't allow a real deleveraging to happen. They came in like a fucking concrete wall and stopped it in its tracks and force-fed the economy as much fucking money as it needed for the thing to turn around overnight, regardless of whether or not there was any type of true recovery when it came to productivity, when it came to the middle class, when it came to income inequality, when it came to socioeconomic inequality. None of those things mattered. We have to get the jobs number lower, and we need to get the stock market higher by any means possible. So they came in and they threw as much fucking money as they wanted after 2008 at the economy. Thus, we got our new bubble that we've been in for the last 10 years. And now, as that was happening, what the Fed should have been doing, as Rick Santelli would say, the Fed's supposed to be clinical, is they should have been raising rates starting, you know, 8 years ago, 7 years ago. The fact that rates were notoriously low and were at almost record historical lows should have prompted the Fed to get at it earlier, the first time that they saw some signs of recovery. But they didn't. Yellen let the fucking thing go unchecked for like 6 or 7 years during her tenure. Okay, and she kept rates low and then barely started to hike them up. You know, 25 basis points every 3 years or whatever it was to start. I mean, it was ridiculous. And now that rate hikes are picking up a little steam, by the way, too, Janet Yellen exits as the Fed chair and is widely heralded as having done a great job. As if there was something that Janet Yellen did that you or me or the guy that works at the goddamn pizza shop next to my house was incapable of doing. Folks, you could have had a trained fucking circus seal in there editing and writing those FOMC minutes. Doesn't take some ridiculously deep understanding of economics to know that keeping rates low is going to continue to flood the market with cheap debt, which is going to continue to give the illusion of prosperity and pump the stock market higher when under the surface that may not be what's happening. What's happening under the surface may be we're taking on new record levels of debt that are further along than they were in 2008 in some cases, and we're blowing up bigger bubbles. And then all of a sudden, when interest rates start to tick up a little bit and maybe some of those sectors start to feel a tiny bit of an aftershock from that, it's instant panic. Instant panic. And today, I'm not sure what drove this today, really. I mean, there was a huge seller in the S&P futures as soon as the market opened today. Trump had his comments, you know, obviously this is days after another rate hike. But why today? I'm not really sure why today. But it doesn't really matter. So maybe some people are starting to realize it. I mean, why do people sell? They sell out of fear. Well, what are people afraid of? Well, people are afraid of the interest rates are going to go up. And everybody is loaded with debt. Everybody. Consumers, corporations, municipalities, and our
beautiful, beautiful country. Okay, folks? Even Trump said it himself. We're in a great big bubble. $21 trillion national debt, folks. It's disgraceful.
And it is disgraceful. Which is why it's baffling to me that it's fucking surprising anybody. And it's just mystifying to me that in one day when the market goes down 800 points, everybody is losing their shit. Everybody. I mean, think about this. Just back away from this for a second. All right, the Fed is supposed to be clinical. Clinical. They are supposed to be the measured, steady hand. Right? That's what everybody described Janet Yellen as. She was the steady hand that led us through the recovery. Bernanke, too. He had the courage to act. He had the steady hand to lead us back to prosperity. Okay. Well, now we've had one day of a major sell-off. One, folks. Uno. Un. We've had one day where stocks have come off. One. One session. And Art Cashin's on the television going, I think there's going to be a lot of phone calls made to the Fed tonight. Here's a great question. Why? Why? Why would anybody call the Fed? Aren't they supposed to be an independent body? There's no point in calling them. They're independent. They're going to act any way that they would normally act, regardless of what you fill out in your little comment form and then drop in the box outside the office. They're supposed to be independent. So where does this notion of, I shit my pants because the market's down one day and I need to talk to the Fed come from that's okay? Does that make sense? And what do you say when you call the Fed?
Hi, this is President Donald Trump. Can you stop this? Can you make it stop, please? Tomorrow, I'd like the Dow to go back up the 800 it was down today.
That's not how it works. Because let me clue you in on something else. If the Fed starts micromanaging even more than they already have, which if you ask me is a relatively sickening amount, but if the Fed starts micromanaging even more, all it's going to do is change the public's perception of the Fed. People are going to, you know, the 2% of Americans that still believe the Fed is an independent organization are going to realize that psychologically, maybe the Fed isn't as strong as they come across. Because here we are, we've had one day where the shit kind of hit the fan, and now they need to do something. If they walk back one of these rate hikes, it will be absolutely devastating for the Fed's credibility. What little of it remains. Devastating. Devastating. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. And that's not what's going to happen. Somebody's going to say something. You know, Bernanke's going to write an op-ed. Yellen's going to go on TV. Powell's going to come out and say something. You know fucking Trump's going to say something about it. Because he basically looks at the stock market as his scorecard. Of course, that's not how he looked at it when he was campaigning. He used the term big, fat, ugly bubble when he was campaigning. Happened to be right about that. But now that he's president, he wants rates low and he wants the market going higher. So he can boast about it. And regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, I mean, that's the facts. Those are the facts, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. You know he's going to have something to say about it. He's going to try and fire Jerome Powell.
Bring back Janet Yellen. Things were better when she was here.
What has to be done has to be done. Rates have to go up. It has to happen. Otherwise, this enormous bubble we're creating now is going to get even bigger. And folks, you can laugh all you want, but the end game for this theory is either a sovereign debt crisis or a currency crisis. And I know I sound crazy for saying that. I know everybody that says that. It can't happen in the U.S. It won't happen here. It can't happen here. Not in the U.S. We've got so much confidence in our economy. Do we really? $21 trillion in debt? Many other countries now hoarding gold reserves? Do you think at some point confidence in our economy might shake out just a little bit? Well, I'll tell you what, it can't, because confidence is the only thing holding it up. If Venezuela launches this petro cryptocurrency, I mean, you could make a serious argument that that new currency may actually have more value to it than the dollar, because it's going to be backed by something. And it's coming out of Venezuela. And what do we learn from Venezuela? Well, Venezuela just saw its country collapse because its currency collapsed. And so the country is now in complete turmoil. People are trying to get out. And what was the lesson that Venezuela learned? What are they doing differently now? Well, they're launching a new digital currency that's backed by the country's oil and mineral reserves. Why? Well, here's a reason. Because maybe backing the currency with something is going to instill more confidence in it. And you know there will be something tangible for the money. You won't be walking around with $50 trillion Bolivar bills that you can barely use to do a fucking load of wash with. But in the United States, that could never happen, right? We have Federal Reserve notes backed by the fine faith of the United States government. And have you seen the people in our government, by the way, first off? That's a nonpartisan statement, but have you seen some of the people that make up our government? That's what it's backed by? That's what my dollar's backed by? My dollar's backed by Mitch McConnell? Ugh. My dollar's backed by Dianne Feinstein? Ugh. My dollar's backed by Elijah, whatever the fuck his name is, the guy that rambles on and on and on at the hearings, has no clue what he's talking about. Elijah Cummings, that's his name. That's what my currency's backed by? My currency's backed by Ted Cruz and Orrin Hatch? Ugh. Ugh. That should be horrifying. It is horrifying. I'm actually just processing that now as I was saying it. If it sounds like I'm making a face, it's because I am still making a face. It's crazy. The currency is backed by nothing. And the Fed is supposed to print more currency and keep interest rates low so that everybody can take on as much debt as possible. Pornographic amounts of debt. What does that term mean? It means lots of debt. It means you wouldn't see it even in the dirtiest porno film you can buy. People just, even in those films, be like, wow, that's disgusting. But I bet that guy's reasonably leveraged. Yeah, I bet he's not carrying 12 times his earnings in debt. Yeah, interesting. Back to the porno. Okay. Anyways, we have all this debt. The Fed is supposed to be the end-all, be-all solution to all of this by printing more money. The government and everybody in the financial sector turns to the Fed anytime there's so much as a fart or a hiccup like there was today. The Fed solution comes off of this, as Ben Bernanke said, we have a great technology called the printing press. Yeah, great technology. It was invented in like the fucking 1700s, you fool. Everybody turns to the Fed to come up with the answer. The answer is print more money. And for some reason, I'm the psychotic one for suggesting hyperinflation might happen. How does that make me crazy? This is like what I tweeted out today. The Fed has been buying $4 trillion. $4 trillion worth of bonds and other dog shit securities over the last decade or two decades or however long it's been that they've been stockpiling this dung heap on their balance sheet. And I'm the conspiracy theorist for suggesting that maybe once in a while the Fed buys some S&P futures or buy some stocks. And you talk to people in the mainstream financial media. One person I talked to in particular is a nice guy. I like him. I would say hello to him out in public. I would go to the bar with him and have a drink. He's a relatively well-known name. Lots of Twitter followers. Big following on TV. Said to him one day, do you think the Fed could be buying S&P futures? And I get a response like, don't even start that conspiracy bullshit, man. I don't even talk about it. You go off on these crazy tangents, okay? And I can't even talk about it. I'm like, dude, it's not a crazy tangent. I'm just suggesting. If they're buying $4 trillion worth of bonds, do you think maybe they bought, I don't know, $500 worth of S&P futures at some point? $5,000? $50,000? $500,000? $5 million? $50 million? Do you think it's possible? It's like watching the Fed walk around in a baseball hat, carrying a baseball bat and a baseball, and saying to your friend, hey, you think that guy over there ever played baseball? And your friend goes, hey man, why don't you stop with the stupid fucking conspiracies, all right? It's not a conspiracy. If the FOMC was walking around with hats that had embroidered on them, we're buying S&P futures, these people would still be like, damn, it's a fucking conspiracy, man. Hey, you with your crazy fucking conspiracy theories. I can't even talk to this guy. I can't even talk to him. I can't talk to him. The guy's nuts. Either. He thinks the Fed's buying stocks. What, you think just because every other central bank in the whole world is out there intervening in their stock markets? We can't do that, man. Fucking USA, we don't do that here. It's against the law. That's what one guy said on CNBC one day. It's against the law. Oh, well. Well, that'll stop them, yes. That's always stopped the government before. Hello, fellas. Should we do this? No, sir. I don't know if you're familiar with the statutes, but that's against the law, so we better not do that. Because I'm sure at the local bars in Washington, downtown, next to the Potomac, everybody's very concerned with the law. Senator! Can I get you your 12th martini before you get into your car and drive home? Sorry, Bill, not today. That would be against the law. And I stay on the right side of the law. Who did they find? One of the senators. They found him fucking driving around at like 3 in the morning, all fucked up on Ambien, he claimed. Forget who it was. That was some years back. Doesn't matter. That guy driving around aimlessly in downtown Washington in the car, drunk and on Ambien, that's the guy that's backing our currency. Venezuela's got mineral deposits now. What do we have? We got a senator driving around in a car at 3:30 in the morning who's hallucinating and thinks he's in the middle of his favorite childhood fairy tale. That's the guy backing our currency. And then to sum that up and deliver it to you, you have the fine folks in the mainstream financial media who today had such resolve during the panic today. Everybody was so cool, calm, and collected. In August, I wrote an article called Spoiler Alert, The Market Won't Go Up Forever. I'll just give you a taste of that. This article is really to talk about why this charade can't last forever. I'm not going to be a doomsday sayer and try to convince you that the entire system is going to collapse tomorrow, although I do like to be prepared for that. But I will any day make the argument that our monetary policy is not sound and cannot be sustained ad infinitum. Which, if you listen to this podcast, you know is Latin for all the fucking time. Over the last 10 years, the stock market has had remarkable run higher. But at this very same time, municipalities and corporations, as well as consumers, have been loading their personal balance sheets with debt. Companies have been using cheap debt to buy back their own stock, many at prices that I believe to be ridiculous. At the same time, consumers are taking on record levels of debt and are using it to spend, creating quote-unquote prosperity in a monetary system that's doing nothing to address our nation's growing debt and our deficit in a meaningful and decisive manner. You don't have to be a PhD to understand that the amount of debt that corporations and consumers take on over the short term will have to reach some type of boiling point, and even with rates low, will begin to result in an uptick in defaults and delinquencies across the board. And you have to understand that rates can't stay low forever. because they run out of room after continuing to make lower highs and lower lows. The fact that we have been riding high on this latest bailout that occurred in 2008 for more than a decade now leads me to believe that in the shorter term, we may start to see some credit cycles burst. When this happens, and whether or not it has profound effect on the overall movement of the market, remains to be seen. However, the consequences of our actions over the last 10 years will undoubtedly catch up to us. When they do, the Fed will run the same playbook they've been running for the last couple of decades, lowering interest rates again and potentially proposing to purchase securities from the government, further manipulating the bond market and the value of our currency. Then the question becomes, exactly how many times can the Fed do this over the course of decades or even centuries before we have a much larger scale bubble burst? The 2008 housing collapse, for reference, I don't even consider to be that big of a collapse. Sure, it was arguably the largest whole individual sector, as well as the most important, to face a quick and sharp deleveraging the way that it did prior to the crisis. But what happens not only when the bull market runs out of steam, but when our larger scale Keynesian monetary policy experiment finally reaches an impasse? To many economists, this is an impossible scenario. To me, applying some basic common sense, it almost seems to be a certainty. The only question is at what point it will occur. I mean, just think about it simply. At some point, we're not going to be able to move interest rates any lower, nor are we going to be able to print money without causing significant inflation. If we continue to use those as our only two methods of propping up the economy, and we're hell-bent on quantitative easing anytime something goes wrong, like, for instance, today, when the market drops 800 points and Art Cashin is talking about calling the fucking Fed. Where the fuck was I? I lost my place. Oh, I was reading and then I got so mad I lost my place. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Art. I'm really not trying to go hard on Art Cashin. It just so happens that he was the guy on TV when I walked over there. Could have been anybody. Could have been anybody. I won't call him Art Cashin from now on. I'll just say Art C when I refer to him. Actually, I'll say A. Cashin, that, you know, to keep him anonymous. Isn't he the one that's always wearing the hats, though? Isn't Cashin the guy that's always wearing the Dow 24,000 hat, the Dow 25,000 hat, the Dow 26,000 hat, and they always roll him out onto television with that hat? Let's just stop with the hats, all right, folks? The president, Art Cashin, I don't need to see hats with a message on it. Same way I don't need to see bumper stickers or t-shirts with a message on it. And definitely the same way I don't like seeing small infant children who are dressed by their parents and have t-shirts with sayings on them that you know that child does not have the psychological maturity to approve. I saw a kid the other day wearing a shirt that said Eagles fan for life. This kid can't even conceptualize what football is. I find that very unfair to do that to children. All right, let's just go back to what I was saying. Stop dressing your kids with sayings. Giants fan for life. I'm Dad's favorite. Dad's my favorite. Future Baseball Hall of Famer. It's like, look, your kid's going to grow up to be a garbage man, all right? Just get used to it. He's not going to be in any Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Allied Waste Employee of the Month bulletin board back at the plant where the guys congregate over their bologna sandwiches. And I know, folks, I've worked at that plant. Trust me. If you're an investor, perhaps you've already thought about the possibility of a shorter-term recession. However, have you considered the thought of a larger-scale bubble burst? Well, judging by everybody I saw on TV today, nobody has ever thought of that. It's almost like 2008 didn't fucking happen. Have we forgotten? I mean, I haven't forgotten. And 10 years ago, I was 25. And wasn't overtly concerned with the financial markets. I can remember it loud and clear. You have any idea how many alcoholic beverages I've consumed since the 2008 crisis? And how many brain cells that has cost me? And yet there are still enough remaining brain cells in my head to remember it? Look, there's a real chance here that if the Fed or the president tries to intervene based on the movement of the markets for one day, that we're going to cause a lot more trouble than we prevent. Now, personally, I don't really care. I'm just waxing poetic here for a second, giving you a little bit of analysis. If they come in and start to try to micromanage this shit on a daily basis, it could make things significantly worse. Because when confidence is the only thing backing the currency and confidence is the only thing backing our economic system, and you lose that confidence, then what happens? And if these guys had just sacrificed a little bit of ego to do the right thing over the last decade, maybe just hike rates a little bit more, a little bit quicker, or maybe just started earlier and just sacrificed the ego, took the heat from the senators, from the politicians, from the constituents, just took the heat. Just, it only would have been a little bit of heat dosed out in very small portions over the course of years. Maybe the market wouldn't have gotten so ahead of itself. I mean, if you want to assume that this is a real free market, our stock market, which we all know that it isn't. But if you want to assume that that's a free market, well, why does a free market pull back 3% in one session? Because it has gone too far, too fast. Now the only question is, do we make it worse? And I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. We've already forgotten 2008. We've already forgotten 2000. You got guys like Ross Gerber on TV talking shit about David Einhorn. You got a company burning $1.9 billion last year with $11.5 billion in debt and no material earnings that everybody thinks its stock is going to continue to go up, that T. Rowe Price just upped their stake in. You got the Gartman letter with a record number of subscribers, probably. I don't know. I just made that up. You have news anchors on television recommending that we call the Federal Reserve on a day when stocks are down. I follow this guy on Twitter, Stalingrad Emporsky, and in his Twitter profile, he puts, in the unlikely event that markets are red, call the New York Federal Reserve, and he put their phone number in there. He put that in there as a joke. He put that in there as a fucking joke, and that's what people are suggesting. We have Elon Musk telling investment bank analysts to get off the conference call so he can take questions from a kid who has his own YouTube channel. MiMedx somehow still has a $600 million market cap. The president of the New York Stock Exchange recently called short sellers icky. Jim Cramer, a couple months ago, told people Domino's Pizza was a technology company. The same Jim Cramer, who begged the Fed for a bailout in 2008, also said that Elon Musk shouldn't be shorted when the stock was at 375. We have Tilray, a $13 billion company that's done something like $10 or $20 million in revenue. Snapchat has gotten absolutely assholed since it's been public. Auto sales are now getting crushed if you looked at September's numbers. And you people are surprised that this market pulled back 3% in a day? As Trump would say, give me a break, folks. Give me a break, okay? That's it. I'm out of here for today. Catch you soon. Oh, by the way, I'm going to Las Vegas tomorrow. So I will be at Traders for a Cause in Las Vegas. And if you're around, let's catch up for a drink. All right, folks. I am out of here. Peace.